An art laboratory with Danto. The story takes place in a secondary school art workshop in the 1980s. Art critic and philosopher Arthur C. Danto is there in order to discuss with the students and answer some philosophical questions about art. Three students, the philosopher and the teacher, take part in the discussion. The students are divided into groups of four and they sit at work tables, due to the nature of the art class, having painting tools in front of them. Teacher, please sit in your group. Soon we will meet today's guest and we will discuss art with him. The children were already looking at the stranger with curiosity and high expectations. Teacher, our guest is called Arthur Danto and is widely known, both as a philosopher and as an art critic. He likes the art of engraving. At present, he is writing as an art critic for The Nation magazine. Whatever you want to know, you will find it out through the conversation with him. You can ask him anything you want. The discussion will be open. Philosopher, good morning, I'm glad to be here with you today, and I think we will have a very creative dialogue. So tell me, do you like to draw? The hand of a student who was usually the most courageous and impulsive in the class was immediately seen going up in the audience. Maria, I've been drawing since I was little. My first drawings were very childish. As I grow older, I use more complex designs. Philosopher, that is very natural. As people evolve, so does their art. Peter, what I don't understand is the strange way some artists paint. In our previous lesson, for example, we learned about surrealism. Trees with arms, elephants with long thin legs, and that long mustache of Dali himself. I am always puzzled by the surrealist painter's way of depicting reality. Philosopher, well, this can be explained. It is known that the surrealists dive into the depths of the unconscious and retrieve images without the censorship of logic. They record the strange, the paradoxical, or the impossible with a photographically realistic painting that cannot be misinterpreted, while at the same time they make visible what is beyond and outside the real. Anastasia, so is it as if to say more simply that they identify the dream with reality? Philosopher, yes, precisely for the surrealists, there is no opposition between dream and reality. Mary, and what about Yayoi Kusama's dots? We also have a project on this technique that the artist used. Philosopher, interesting. According to this artist, the universe consists of dots. Let's see the matter more practically. Take the cardboard in front of you and the watercolors and make dots in any way you want with your finger, with a brush, with a stencil, and with plasticine to familiarize yourself with this technique. The students begin creating dots based on Mr. Danto's instructions. Anastasia, I think that we can also create shapes or images with these dots. Philosopher, my friend, as an artist you are free to use whatever technique you want and whatever material you want and whatever design you want. Peter, from what we are saying, it seems that in the future we will have more surprises regarding the form and materials used by the artists. Philosopher, this is exactly what Andy Warhol confirms to us with his work Brillo Boxes. This particular work, which was presented as one of the Stable Gallery exhibits in New York, consisted of stacked Brillo cardboard boxes, which were used to dispense soap, thus creating a tower. Are you curious to know more? Did you know this artist and his movement? Teacher, let me remind you, children, that in the corridor outside our workshop there is also a painting by Andy Warhol, which is about two Campbell's cans. Anastasia, I doubt if this is art that uses everyday objects. Philosopher, this is exactly what I wondered, my little philosopher. When I saw the Brillo Boxes exhibition several years ago, I asked myself whether we should classify it as art, since boxes are simply everyday objects without any special trace of art. Teacher, this is where the question of who decides if something is a work of art comes into play. Peter, justice is for the majority to decide on important issues. At least this is what we have come to in the course of political education. Philosopher, we are on the right track. The audience will decide. This is the factor which will evaluate the project. Anastasia, that is, in order for Brillo boxes to be qualified as art, they would have to be accepted by the majority of the entire world. Philosopher, exactly. If the public accepts the work as artistic, then yes, it can be qualified as art. Mary, and did the public immediately accept the Brillo boxes? Philosopher, of course not. They were not immediately accepted. There were disagreements about whether they would be classified as art. Mary, if I understood correctly, the artist creates the work and the public creates the theory of what is a work of art. Philosopher, yes. Of course, and at the same time, the artists are raising philosophical topics and questions they would like to solve with their art. This is why the work of art always refers to something, and it has a meaning on its own. Peter, and how will the audience understand the meaning? Many times in the classroom, or outside of it, we wonder about the meaning of things. It is common to wonder what's the point of something, or that it doesn't make any sense. Philosopher, in order for people to understand the meaning, the artist must first find an intelligent way to present their work. Teacher, for example, my dear children, you could put a title or a symbol or color combinations. Philosopher, they could also use patterns or repetitions. Mary, it's obvious. Artists are now able to create their own art without limitations. Philosopher, let's go back to practice to understand this better. I would ask you to turn your cardboard on the white side as well and try to compose a project using different materials, for example paper, paper clips, plasticine. In other words, you can create whatever you want freely, without restrictions. Anastasia, on which topic? Philosopher, very good question. Pay attention to the form and the meaning and the content. You chose the materials first. Also choose the content and the meaning you want to convey, because your work must be mentioned somewhere. Peter, we have also seen empty paintings. Philosopher, even this emptiness can have a meaning. Anastasia, yes. But the meaning is not always obvious. Philosopher, you are absolutely right. For example, a painting depicting a horse may not refer to horses, but to royalty, or nature, or a host of other things. Mary, I think the viewer will need some help in order to understand this. In class, when we don't immediately understand something, the teacher explains it to us. Teachers try to direct us. Philosopher, yes, this can be done with the title or with the general atmosphere created by the work. For example, if you see a painting with designs about computers, it is most likely to refer to the current technological age and its problems or its positive results. Mary, is it really that easy? Philosopher, no, but this is also the beauty of art, that the meaning can be hidden and is not always so visible. Mary, I have the impression that we should read history, philosophy and art history in order to really figure all of these out. Philosopher, well, there you go. In order to understand an artist's intention, you must be familiar with their art. What matters, as we say, is the context in which the work of art exists. And we should also remember that the intention of the artist is related to their era.